WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. It's Paul Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg. Glad to have you listening in this morning on WBSM. We did have a caller on the line before, but I know between the last spot break and the top of the hour news, it got to be a long wait, so they dropped off. If you'd like to call back in, it is 508-996-0500. Glad to have you on board here at 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. I'll tell you, these 3 hours go by very quickly, and we're so glad to have you listening in today. We had a few topics. We had the light topic, and then we had the more serious topic. The light topic was, what's your favorite Christmas present that you ever received? Whether it's at a kid or as a kid or as an adult, what is it? So far on the list, we have walkie-talkie, which is what I put on the list. Rock'em Sock'em Robots. We had the Etch-a-Sketch, the Schwinn Bicycle, the Chemistry Perfume Set, which I had never heard of. I guess it's kind of like an easy bake oven for the young girls at the time. And a pair of ice skates, all that on the list. And I was going to add a new one, and this is going to bring back some memories, a CB radio. Remember the CB radios, the Citizen Band radios, Breaker 19? Oh, yeah, I was really into that. I'll have to tell you in a little while what my handle was, because everybody had to have a handle. You had to have a name that you used when you were on the Citizen Band radio. So that's kind of how it worked, you know? So give us a call and let's see what's on your mind. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul. How are you
today?
Yeah,
good. Thank you for calling back.
Yes, sir. Not a problem. A long-time listener, few times call in. You do a great job.
Thank you very much.
What I was wondering earlier this morning, it seemed like there was an issue that you're really not interested in what Carlos had to say, and you kept interrupting him every time he tried to talk to you. And I'm just kind of wondering why. Is there a personal connection or?
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. Please call right back. I'll put you right back on. I was trying to put the next caller on hold. Now, I really didn't think it was right to litigate a criminal case over the airwaves. I mean, up to a point. I mean, I let him go. I had to go to that commercial break, too. And I didn't really mean to keep interrupting him. But I think he had his say. His say is that he really didn't feel like he violated any law. He feels like he didn't violate the statute. And actually, I explained earlier this morning, being an attorney, that pretrial probation, you don't admit to anything. You just say, I'm not going to do this particular behavior anymore. The case gets continued and dismissed. So it's not even an admission of guilt. It's not a guilty plea. It's not really anything. There you are, Mr. Botello. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. So back to what I was saying.
So you don't think really I gave him a fair shot?
Well, let me just say this. You don't want to litigate the case on the radio.
Yes.
I can fully understand that. Mm-hmm. But you was real happy to get out one side of the case. The other side of the case, you was extremely hesitant at letting him speak. And I can tell you, as a 35-year taxpayer in New Bedford, I kind of want to hear what Carlos has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would investigate. But I found that you wasn't... Did you let him speak? You did.
Yeah, I let him speak.
Yeah, you did, absolutely. But with a little bit of hesitancy, and I didn't feel that hesitancy when you was talking about the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You was quick to tell that story, but as the rebuttal came in, you wasn't quick to hear that. And I expect from you, especially as an attorney, absolutely more than that.
All right. Well, thank you for, first of all, complimenting me at the very beginning of your call, saying I do a nice job.
Absolutely.
But I think I would just say I tend to disagree with you a little bit. I mean, I just didn't think that I wanted to have this person call up and start, you know, litigating the case on the radio. And if the other side called up, I'd probably say the same thing. I mean, I know both of them. I do think there's a line that gets crossed. I did say a number of times this morning that people like Mr. Felix, we need people to speak truth to power. There's no question about it. We need people to challenge our authorities. We need people to criticize them. We need people to yell at them even at times, right? But I mean, if you, the allegation is he went to his house and took a picture. Mr. Felix said he didn't do that. There was a picture that somebody else took and he forwarded it to Mr. Pereira. So that's his position on the case, right? So that may be, I don't know. I know the case was resolved by pretrial probation. Pretrial probation is the case gets continued and dismissed. There's no admission of guilt. It's not even a continuance without a finding. It's not a guilty plea. And I mentioned that earlier this morning,
no,
too.
No, but again, not to interrupt you, Paul. Yeah. But all that legal stuff is all fantastic. But my issue is, if you're going to speak part of the case, when there's a rebuttal, please be just as open-minded, whether you're happy for Carlos or not. As a taxpayer, I'm looking to hear all sides.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. You're very welcome. And keep up the great work, man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, that was interesting. I don't know. I think I did give him a fair shot to speak. I was up against the break. I'm not using that as an excuse, but I don't know whether or not it's a good idea to let people litigate their cases over the airwaves. On the other hand, he does have a right to criticize Mr. Pereira. He gave his speech. He called him what he wanted to call him. He denied taking the picture. On the other hand, you know, I would just say, like, I'm just trying to put myself in the position of the other side. If I'm an elected official and I start to feel like, okay, you're not just yelling at me at City Hall. You know, why are you forwarding me a picture of, you know, that was taken outside of my house? Now, if that person didn't take the picture, that makes it a little different. It does sound like both sides were reasonable. Sometimes when you go to court, right, you can get two sides of a case and both sides are so contentious. And so each side is so upset and each side feels they're right that you can't resolve it. Well, it sounds to me like a pretrial probation was a good way to resolve it. Mr. Pereira feels comfortable that Mr. Felix is not going to bother him at his home. Mr. Felix is saying, I didn't bother you at your home to begin with. Mr. Felix didn't admit to anything. He tells the judge, hey, I'm not going to go to his house. In fact, I never went to his house. Mr. Pereira is like, okay, as long as he doesn't come to my house, I don't care. So they ended up resolving it. So it sounded like both sides were reasonable, which sometimes doesn't happen in court. Sometimes both sides are so contentious and so irritated and so upset that they can't come to a resolution. But it sounds like in this case they did, and I think that's good. But just in general terms, at what point does the criticism go too far? Whether it's at the national level, whether it's at the state level, or even the local level, right? There was a lot of criticism of people in power, whether it's Mayor Mitchell, whether it's any of the members of the city council. If there's a disagreement, we had the parallel products was a big disagreement with that case. You know, we're talking about South Coast Rail coming down. I keep joking about South Coast Rail on my TV show because it feels like that train's never coming. But now it's coming in May, and my wife uses it to go visit the grandchildren in Boston to babysit while my son and daughter-in-law are working. So she's been waiting for that connector from Middleborough to New Bedford for what seems like forever. So supposedly that's going to happen in May. But whether it's criticism of a particular counselor or criticism of, you know, the officials in general, we definitely need that. We need more of it. We need more of it in a sort of a civil fashion. And I'm not saying that this particular case met the level of it being over the line or not, but I do think that there is a line. Sounds like in this particular case, both parties were satisfied with the way things are going to be going forward. And I think anytime you can resolve the case with a pretrial probation, that is definitely the way to go. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good. My favorite, my favorite when I was real young was Thumbelina. I don't know if you remember that doll. They pull the string in the back of the baby, move around like a little baby. And, do you remember that?
Yeah, vaguely. It was me and my brother. Yeah, I didn't have any sisters.
There was four girls and two boys in my family. And then Drowsy, the other one that would fall asleep. The other doll, and then I had wonderful Christmases with my family, and then I had the Magnus organ. Me and my sister shared that because it was pretty big. I'll tell you, that thing lasted forever.
Oh, is that the one with the numbers? Sure, play the organ by numbers. Is that the one?
I'm not sure. I forgot now, but yeah. It was white, and it had the thing on the side. You could hear the air coming out of the back.
What was that first doll called again? That first doll you said that you pulled?
Thumbelina. Oh, I loved that
Thumbelina?
Doll. Thumbelina. It was a string in the back. You would pull the string out.
Oh, man.
And the arms would move, the legs and everything. But I'm thinking now to this day, my nephews and my brother, they would be petrified of it. Because they would say it was so freaky. Because I had my mother's old doll from when she was a little girl, and it was with the eyes up and down, you know, like the ones that they used to have in the stores, like as models. But and then my favorite thing was my Stingray bike.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the one with the banana seat and the high handlebars. And a lot of the guys in the neighborhood had them, too, and they would have the sissy bar on the back. They call it a sissy bar.
Yes, they did.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, some good memories. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye now.
All right, thank you. All right, we got to move on here, 508-996-0500. So I'm adding to the list here the Magnus Organ, the Drowsy Doll, which I don't remember, and Thumbelina. Thumbelina, you pull a string and the doll speaks. I'm going to have to ask my wife about that because when I was growing up, it was just me and my brother, so we didn't have dolls like that. Although when my son was young, one of his favorite gifts was Woody. Woody from Toy Story. And talk about pulling strings, right? You pull the string and the thing would go, I got a snake in my boot. Remember that one? Yeah, that was Woody from the very, very popular Toy Story. Oh, here on WBSM, 1420 AM, 99.5 FM. Paul Santos filling in as we wind down hour number three. Thank you very much for your participation this morning. If you'd like to jump in on any of our topics, 508-996-0500. I particularly enjoyed that caller that said, hey, you're doing a great job, Santos. Hey, you're doing a great job. It's just this one thing I didn't like. But other than that, you're doing a great job. Okay, we'll accept that. I disagree, but I enjoyed that caller, and it was a good provocative call. So if you'd like to call in on that subject, we're talking about the First Amendment a little bit. And then we're talking also about your favorite Christmas toy growing up. And we've got some great gifts here, right? We've got the Drowsy Doll, Thumbelina, which was a doll. I just added from Toy Story Woody. There's a woman that got ice skates, a chemistry perfume set. We got a lot of people talking about bicycles, the Schwinn bicycles that everybody seemed to have. And the girls, a lot of the girls had the Stingray. And I had the Citizens Band radio, right? I got a CB, Breaker 19 and all that stuff, right? And my handle was Cue Ball. And you're thinking, Cue Ball? Why was your handle Cue Ball? Well, it has nothing to do with the receding hairline. It had to do with the fact that I used to like to shoot pool. So we were just trying to come up with a name. And it was like, you know, hey, Cue Ball, you know, Breaker 19, how about you, Cue Ball? And you just went on there and you talked and had some fun. So I was always a talker. I was always somebody who liked to talk, liked to have conversation. And I suppose being on the radio and being a broadcaster and being an attorney definitely allows you to speak. All right, let's say good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you today?
Not too bad. Hey, quick question, going off the subjects you have going on. What kind of law do you practice?
Well, now I'm mostly in housing court, but over the course of my career, I started as a prosecutor, did that for almost 7 years in the DA's office. Then I did criminal defense for quite a while after that. And then I kind of went over to juvenile court and handled care and protection cases, which have to do with DCF, removing children from their parents. Did that for a long time and still do that, actually. And then for the last 10, 12 years or so, I'm in housing court all the time, mostly representing property owners and the New Bedford Housing Authority.
Yeah, I know, because I am looking for a lawyer, and I'm having a hard time finding, you know, one for, trying to sue the dealer for a car, you know, to get my money back because I have a lemon for a
right.
vehicle.
Yeah, that's not really the kind of law that I do now. But, okay. Hey, that's, I'm sure you can Google around and try to find somebody.
Oh, trust me, I've put in so many calls and I get no callbacks.
All right, well, good luck.
All right, thank you, bud.
Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Hey, how you doing there today, wild man?
Yeah, good, how are you?
Good, good. I was just thinking about toys.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I can remember my big one that, like, shocked the heck out of me. It was 1964. I came down to the living room, and out in front of the Christmas tree was Johnny 7 OMA, the one-man army rifle, gun, whatever combination thing. And it was just standing there on its bipod, and I remember I went crazy. it was, I don't know if it was Remco made it or whatever toy company made it.
All right, so what did it include?
It had a anti-tank weapon on it. It had a machine gun. It had a pistol that came out and you could use it. Anti-bunker gun. Oh, it was everything. It was the one-man army, OMA.
Right, so you could actually, like, hold it in your arms and, you know, pretend that
It was friggin' gigantic.
Well,
and I remember about, like,
I was just going to say, I remember getting a rifle and, like, we'd go in the yard and pretend that we were at war and we'd be climbing in the bushes and we had, we had a rifle that had camouflage on it and everything. Maybe it was the same thing you're talking about.
I think, like, four other guys in the neighborhood got us. Of course, we're all out playing army, running through the woods, shooting off the rockets and everything. I think we lost about everything the first day. We're looking all over where these things flew off to. Came home, our fathers were met. Where's this? Where's that? Where's this? Where's that? But I just remember seeing that gun and everybody in the neighborhood. And I think they came out of supermarkets back then. Mm-hmm. You bought these things.
And, what was the name of it again? The Johnny what?
Johnny 7 OMA, the one-man army.
Wow.
And I see every once in a while I'll see it on a TV show, like an old. There was one of the SVUs or something like that. They were showing one on there. The guy was describing it, and I said, "Oh my God, we all wanted that gun." And it didn't last long. It wasn't made all that well, and I think by summer they were all broken.
Now, how old would you have been at that time?
64. I would have been 10 years old.
Nice. So that was right in your wheelhouse at 10 years old.
Oh my God! Everybody wanted and. Like I said, my dad had set it up in front of the tree, so it's standing up. It was, if you ever look it up on the thing was just huge. And it was just like, oh, my God.
You were in heaven, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Good talk with you.
All right. 508-996-0500. I just threw out there that question about what was your favorite Christmas present. And that one right there is called the Johnny 7 OMG One Man Army. I do remember having a plastic rifle that I had, my brother had, the neighbors had, and we used to go out in the woods and pretend that we were at war. Right? So I don't know if that's the most popular thing nowadays to be doing, but that's what we did back then. I mean, we pretended that we were in the army, and the rifle that I had camouflage on it and everything, and we went out in the yard, and we'd be chasing each other around and all that. And when you're a 10-year-old, particularly boy, you love that kind of stuff. You just love that, you know, and yet you're not really thinking about, you know, social situations and the opposite sex and all that just yet. So you're actually in good shape. You don't really care about girls or anything like that yet, because once that switch goes off, you can take the army gun and, you know, you can drop it down and probably never use it again. But there was a time where, you know, the army guns and all that kind of stuff, you know, you went out in the yard. You even played cowboys and Indians. Right, that was a big thing back then, cowboys and Indians. Now, I know nowadays, you know, certain phraseology is considered, you know, offensive and so on and so forth. So I don't know if they're encouraged to play that now. But, you know, that was what we did back then. We didn't really think anything of it. We were just kids. So whether it was playing army or playing cowboys and Indians, yeah, we definitely did that too around that time. We're talking about late 60s, early 70s. So definitely a fun time to be a kid, that's for sure. All right, if you're on the line, stay tuned. You can join the discussion at 508-996-0500. It's Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. Back after the news.
The Matt Gaetz Ethics Report, still under wraps. A heated exchange on Capitol Hill. And what has the power to take down Wicked at the box office?
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The House has voted against releasing an Ethics Committee report from its investigation of former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Gaetz was being investigated over allegations of sexual misconduct and drug use, among other things. He resigned last month after President-elect Trump selected him for Attorney General, but Gaetz later withdrew his name after it became clear he was unlikely to be confirmed. New York City police releasing more surveillance photos of the suspect accused of shooting and killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson outside a hotel this week. The images are much clearer than previous surveillance photos and show most of the suspect's face. Mayor Eric Adams said investigators were moving at a good pace and that he expected an arrest. Pete Hegseth, President-elect Donald Trump's embattled pick for defense secretary, vowing to stay in the running despite multiple misconduct allegations. He met with lawmakers on Capitol Hill once again on Wednesday. His mother also tried to make the case for his fitness for the position, sitting down for an interview on Fox News, where Hegseth was previously a weekend host. Some heated moments on Capitol Hill Thursday. During a hearing looking into the Trump assassination attempts, an exchange between Texas Republican Congressman Pat Fallon and acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe erupted into a screaming match. Fallon ripped into the agency's failures, showing a photo of Trump's visit to New York marking the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. There were no Secret Service agents at his side, but the acting director was in the frame. There was the suggestion that he was grandstanding. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the new Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, is based on common sense. Speaking before a meeting with DOGE leaders Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, Johnson said government's too big, it does too many things, and it does almost nothing well. He said there's an enormous amount of waste, fraud, and abuse in the government, and that DOGE will investigate that and lay it bare for the American people to see. And Moana 2 is expected to take first at the box office this weekend. The animated sequel is expected to bring in around $60 million in its second outing. Meanwhile, Wicked set to make near $32 million, while Gladiator 2 projected to make over $15 million, both in their third weekends.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Celtics host the Milwaukee Bucks at TD Garden tonight at 7:30. Boston Bruins host the Philadelphia Flyers Saturday at 1. Patriots return December 15th to play the Arizona Cardinals.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It's going to be a cold day. It's going to be a windy day. Bitterly cold even. So bundle up if you're headed outside. High temperatures only getting into the low to mid-30s here on the South Coast, but with that wind, it'll feel more like the 20s. The weekend, we begin a gradual warm-up, but not by much. A mix of sun and clouds on tap for Saturday. Temperatures still in the 30s. On Sunday, we hit the 40s. Chance for a quick snow shower, but that's in and out if it happens. Mostly sun and clouds. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
All right, it's Paul Santos back here at 1420 WBSM and 99.5 FM, filling in for Tim Weisberg this morning. Right now, we're going to go over to the butcher shop and say good morning to Eric. How you doing? Let's see. Are you there? Hello, Eric? All right. Let me try this right here. Okay. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Yeah, good. I had one more button to push. Welcome to the show. How's everything going at the butcher shop this morning?
All right, man. Good, good, man. We're doing good. We're getting ready for the holidays. How you doing?
Yeah, good. I'll tell you, we love to go to the butcher shop, especially for that Kärntner Spit. I mean, you always say, you want the good stuff? I'm like, of course I want the good stuff. And I know that's just like a running joke. The only stuff you have is the good stuff, right?
Yeah, the good stuff, yeah.
There's no such thing as anything but the good stuff. So you guys are getting ready for the holidays. So what happens during the holidays is different from any other time.
Just very busy. Everybody, you know, they're getting ready for family events, and, you know, everybody wants food, takeout. A lot of people don't, you know, they're on the rush, on the go. They don't have time to make food. They stop in, buy some cooked food already, or they want to get their orders in for the holidays. You know how that goes.
I got to tell you, you guys put some beautiful spices on your food. I mean, that stuff just tastes terrific.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, Portuguese style, pretty much. You know how it goes.
So what is the most popular dish over there, would you say, the top two or three?
I think it's like casserole is like a staple of the community. You know what I mean? Everybody likes casserole.
Of course.
Well, we got everything. We got wings. We got everything. Anything you need. I got casserole meat. I got beef farnish. And now the holidays are coming around. I got small piglets. I got goats. I got rabbit. I got lamb. You know, I got brisket. I got chicken wings, prime rib, bone in, boneless, pro choice, prime. I got all the grades of meat, T-bones, filet. Bacalhau, I got everything, man. I could just rattle off all kinds of names, you know what I'm saying?
You know, it's 8:35 in the morning, and you're making me hungry already. I feel like having a prime rib right now.
That's good. Well, you know, I got lobster rolls on special today. That's a good deal.
Oh, no
$10 lobster roll. I can't go wrong there.
Yeah. All right, Eric, we'll keep up the good work. I know you guys work hard over there, the butcher shop located on Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, and you're open pretty much every day, right?
Every day, man, and the holidays are coming, man. Like I said, I got hams, I got shoulders, I got ribs, I got everything you need, prime rib, turkey, I'll get you whatever you want.
Well, keep up the great work over there, and thanks for joining us here on the radio.
Hey, Paul, thanks for calling me, man.
All right, that's Eric from the butcher shop here at WBSM. Always great to hear from him. And yeah, you know, I know he calls in, or we call him on the radio here as part of the Tim Weisberg Show, and I know that they've been teaming up with this radio station for a long time, but independent of that, my wife and I enjoy going to the butcher shop. We always go down there. We usually get the carne spit, but we also get steaks and the prime rib and all that. Oh, it is just terrific. So I know those guys work hard down there. They have that old-time Portuguese work ethic, and they do a terrific job. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yeah. First of all, I'll preface my remarks by saying I'm an old geezer, 78 years old. So when it comes to Christmas presents, I got to go pretty far back.
Oh, boy.
And I'll tell you something that was very popular when I was about 4 or 5 years old that every kid wanted was a pedal car. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
No, I don't think so. That might be just a little bit before my time. What is a pedal car?
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, during the war, the big three automakers were not allowed to make automobiles because they needed that metal for... They converted their plants, basically, to wartime production, producing tanks and, you know, all that stuff. So when the post-war period came about, 1946... They really wanted to make some sales because, of course, they weren't making as much money making the implements of war as they were selling passenger vehicles to the public. So what they did was to encourage people to come in, like General Motors, I think, made the first one. It was it was fashioned right after the Chevrolet. It looked like a small Chevrolet, a little tiny Chevrolet. It had one seat, and you sat in it. And you pedaled it, and it's sort of like a bicycle, except you're sitting inside the car, and it would move around fairly nicely. And that was a big craze at the time. And Chrysler and Ford also copied them and started, when you went in there, if you're going to buy a new car, they'd throw in one of those pedal cars they had on the floor. They had them in displays. If you had a family, you know, if you bought a new car, they'd throw that into the deal for your kid, you know?
How old were you at the time?
I was 4 or 5. This was like the early 50s. And, of course, right now, I watch that show American Pickers there on the History Channel. Those pedal cars, if you can find one, they're worth a lot of money to collectors because, of course, they haven't made them. They stopped making them, I would say, in the maybe 1957, 56, something like that. But they came across like one made by Studebaker, the bullet nose Studebakers, which I'm not old enough to remember those things. But that's probably the rarest one, and it can run thousands of dollars on the collector's market.
Yeah, it's funny how stuff, if you just hang on to it, you don't think to hang on to them, and then later on they're worth all kind of money.
Yeah, those are very valuable. They were made out of solid steel. They were well made, and they were brightly paint job was almost like a new car. You know, my father got a blue Chevy for me when I was about 5 years old. And the next door neighbor was my cousin, and she saw me pedaling around in that thing, and she haunted her father to get. So he had to go out and get a Chrysler pedal car, you know?
See, I'm going to look that up after we hang up. Thanks for the call. That was a good one.
Okay, thank you. Bye now.
All right, have a great day. Hey, that's really great. Another Christmas present that somebody remembered that really, really enjoyed, the pedal car. Wow, that's before my time. I'm going to Google that one. Back in a moment here on the Tim Weisberg Show. Paul Santos filling in on WBSM. I enjoy that swing method of Christmas songs for some reason. That's the great Michael Bublé, who my wife and I saw in concert at the Garden a few years back. Just a phenomenal talent. And really, not only sings well, but he puts on a great show. Okay, we are going to go to the shotgun method of phone calls because we've got four to get on in about 5 minutes. So let's do it quick. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
I like it when you fill in. You should fill in more. You're great.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
Listen, Are you still doing that on Mondays at Mikey B's?
Yes, I am. Yeah, come by and see us.
Every Monday?
Pretty much every Monday. We have a few off here and there, but 90% of the time we're there.
I listened to the radio the other day about the game, the Blue Devils. They said you were up there, right?
Yes, I actually announced the game on Dartmouth Community Media. Yeah, I came down to the last play, which is always fun.
Yeah, listen, so my toy was Chatty Cathy doll.
Chatty Cathy.
Yeah, and she talked, and you pulled the string, and she used to talk.
All right, Chatty Cathy. I'm going to add Chatty Cathy to the list. Thank you very much. I got to move on to the next one. I really appreciate
the call. Holiday.
Thank you. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Hello?
Yes.
I am calling about an issue. I married a woman who had mental health issues.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I married her was in case she was hospitalized, I would be able to be involved in her care.
Mm-hmm.
And she went off her meds, and she was acting out in a number of ways, and the police had come to the house several times, and her psychiatrist said that I had to get her to the hospital, and in order to do that, I had to go to the judge and get her to section.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, which was very traumatic for me and so forth.
That's a very difficult process, no question about it.
So I went to the judge, and they sent her to the hospital. And on her way to the hospital, she fired her psychiatrist, and she cut me off as her husband having anything to do with her care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I can't, comment on a case that I don't really have, materials in front of me. Did you have a particular question you wanted to ask or a particular point? Because I have two more callers I'm trying to sneak in here.
I'm just trying to say, on her way to the hospital, she fired her psychiatrist and me. So when she went to the hospital, no one told the people there what was going on except her. And she was suffering from serious delusions, including believing that I was planning on murdering her.
Oh.
So she went to the hospital. She used to be a psychiatric nurse. She got out of the hospital and got a restraining order against me based on her delusion.
Right. No, things can get really, really ugly in those situations. And, the laws.
I'm trying to help her. I'm trying to help my wife since June.
Right.
And I have a restraining order against me based on her delusions. And she's calling all these numbers about people abusing her and so forth and telling her delusions.
Mm-hmm. No, that can happen. That can happen. All right. I appreciate the call. I have to move on. Thank you very much for the call. Let's say good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes. Hi. You got about maybe a minute and a half.
Okay. Was your father a lawyer?
No, he was a probation officer.
Oh, because I had Roy Santos was a lawyer.
Oh, I knew Roy Santos very well. Yes. Not related, though. Not related.
Much older. But I was wondering, because he was a wonderful lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think he retired finally, but he...
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, I imagine.
Yeah, he was...
I imagine.
Yeah, he was a great guy. Not related, though. A lot people used to ask us that all the time, if we were related,
Yeah, when I heard the name Santos, I said, I wonder if it's Roy Santos' son. Is he still living?
I believe he is, but I believe he retired.
Oh, I beat him by this. I'm in my 90s.
Well, they're having a holiday party for the local bar, so usually he shows up to that, so I will tell him that somebody called up and said, hey, are you Roy Santos' son? Because we used to get that all the time.
Oh, I bet, huh?
All right, thanks very much.
I enjoy your program.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. All right, thank you very much. Paul Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg. One last break to get to, and then back to the phones here at 1420 WBSM and 99.5 FM. Okay, let's see. It's the switch right here. We'll be right back. Six. You got Good Morning America, then it goes into my show, which is the Paul Santos Live Show, kind of a local version of the Tonight Show, where we highlight the talented, interesting, and entertaining in the area. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot like the old David Letterman, Jay Leno, Johnny Carson show. We come out, do a quick monologue, joke around with my band members, Gary Langevin and Artie DeMello. We call it the PSL Band. I also have Joanna Raposa as kind of a sidekick, and she brings all the comedians down. So in the show, we always have one singer, a musical guest. We always have one comedian, and we generally have one interesting interview guest. And we've had so many interesting people from the community. So check it out, Paul Santos Live Show. You can catch it on social media. You can catch it Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, Channel 95 on Comcast. And last but not least, we edited it down to a half an hour version of the show, which really moves along because I edited it down and all the best parts get through. We also have Crazy Casey, who finishes off the show, our good friend Jim Casey, which is always a good way to finish. That's on ABC6 every other Sunday morning at 10:30. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Paul, good morning. Two things real quick. Yes. I just wanted to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whichever you prefer.
Yes, you as
one,
well.
And two is, I don't think my over 4.5 is going to get there. We're running out of opportunities. So my early season prediction may have not come true.
Well, I know a guy who has $500 on the line for this. $500 is going to go down the drain, I think.
Yeah, he doesn't get very happy on Sundays when it rolls around to the fourth quarter.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right.
All right. Take care. All right. That gentleman is referring to another friend of mine, Chris Santos. We do a podcast called Santos on Sports, and you can catch that on New Bedford Guide. And Chris and I talk sports, and my good friend Chris Santos, he doesn't mind us talking about it. He bet $500 that the Patriots would win more than 4 games, and they're stuck at 3, and they've had a chance to win a few. They've blown a few at the end. They got 4 games left, 2 against powerhouse Buffalo, and I think one against Arizona and one against San Diego. And both of those teams are over 500. So, I mean, the next game, they have a shot against Buffalo. Maybe the last game of the season, Buffalo rests everybody. There's still a chance, but, I mean, the Patriots games are so different than they were just a few years ago. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning.
Yes.
You were talking about toys for Christmas.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, you're on my age, train. It was a metal train.
Oh, yeah.
That you had to
pour
oil in the stack. It was very heavy. And it would blow a smoke out and make, a train sound. It actually sounded like a real train.
I remember it. I remember my dad had it. And then when my kids got older, when me and my brother came into this world, he brought the old train set out that he had as a kid, which would have been in the 40s. Yeah, that thing was really cool, you know, that you set up the tracks you hit the button and the train went around the track. For that time, that was like a big deal.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I remember my father giving me that was the greatest thing since peanut butter. Yes.
All right.
Thank you very much
for your time.
And Paul, it's nice to hear you on the radio. Have a great day.
Yes, you too. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and Happy Holidays. So what a list we got here. We got the train set, the Chatty Cathy, the pedal cars. I got to look that one up. The Johnny 7 OMG, which was like a army set. Yeah, I used to go out and play army. The Drowsy Doll, the Thumbelina ice skates. I had a few walkie-talkie, rock'em sock'em robots. Etch-a-Sketch, which is still around. I got a CB radio one time, which I went crazy on that one. Schwinn bicycles and stingrays. Chemistry set for perfume. I got to look that one up. So there's a lot of toys that were really classics when we grew up that are totally different. We didn't have virtual reality and all this other stuff. We actually had physical toys that we actually played with. Can you imagine? And we had to have, you know, imagination back in the day, right? So that was a fun time to grow up. And as the caller said, right, he really wanted this present. And there was nothing more exciting as a kid, right? If you really wanted something, and you're like, oh, I really want this. I hope I get it. Because, you know, sometimes your family could afford it. Sometimes they could get it. Sometimes they couldn't. But when you really wanted something and you got it, oh, my God, it was like hitting the lottery when you were a kid. And Chris McCarthy, South Coast Now, is coming up in just a few minutes. He's nodding his head because he remembers some of the toys that he had. Can you like, yell out in the background one favorite toy that you had?
So I had a Planet of the Apes fortress. It was a cardboard, like...
Planet of the Apes.
Toy gun, I was the best.
Wow. Wow, he still has it. So